We've already looked at other things in the book, but tonight we're going to again look at one of the purposes that John wrote the book for, and we'll see it in verse 4. And so John tells us within this book of a couple of purposes that he has, and we've already seen in the last couple messages that one of the purposes of the book is that we would know that we know, and so that we would have eternal security. And so within the book, there's a lot. In fact, we tell new believers that this is a good book to read if you just have accepted Christ. But I'll tell you this is a good book to read if you've known Christ forever. No one's known Christ forever. I got to be real careful with what I say. If you've known Christ for a long time, man, there's so much stuff here. It's not really an introductory level book, but there are a lot of good things for new believers. For example, we need to be teaching that once people get saved, that they have that eternal security. And one of the great places to see that is in 1 John. But another thing that he writes us for the purpose of, is that our joy might be full. And we'll see that here in verse 4. So let's look at 1 John 1. We'll look at the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, I pray for your help in preaching the message. And Lord, you know the things that are on my heart that you've given me from these verses. And I do pray that they would come across clearly. Lord, I pray that your message that you want to have preached would be preached, that you give me the words to say. And Lord, may your word do the work today. May your spirit help us. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here that's struggling in the area of joy and having joy, God, that you would help us with this. And Lord, I believe there's real help here that we can get a hold of. And so we'll thank you for it all. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And so he's given us this introduction and talked about, you know, the things that we've seen and heard. And so he's describing his experience with Christ. The fact that John walked with the Lord. And so he's trying to then let us know of some things he learned from that experience. And we've looked at this, that we have something even more reliable than that firsthand experience, which is the written, completed Word of God. In verse number one, he talks about that he's just trying to communicate something of what he's learned in his life that would help us. In verse number two, we see that he talks about eternal life, that life that comes from God is eternal. And then in verse 3, he talks about the fellowship that we have with one another, but he says, truly though, our fellowship is with the Father. Our fellowship is with God. And he's writing these things, and in chapter 5, he gives us the purpose that we would know that we know. But in verse 4 here, he gives us this purpose, that our joy would be full, that we would have, as Christian people, full joy. Now that word joy is the Greek word chara, which has to do with inner jubilation. So get this, is what it means. It means exceeding rejoicing, being well, or it means this, thriving in gladness. Okay, that's what joy means. It means exceeding rejoicing, being well, and thriving in gladness. And you've probably been around someone who is like that. We would say they have a very bubbly personality, right? They're someone who's just always, have you ever met anyone that's just always happy? Aren't they irritating? Let's talk about that for a second. No, you know what I mean. It is someone that just seems to like always just bubbling over with joy. Well, really, that's what that word joy means. That's really a goal for us. That's what we should all be. And he says that your joy, not that you would just have joy, but notice he says that your joy may be full. And that word full means to cause to abound, to supply liberally, to complete. We would think about it like to fill to the top. Wanting nothing. And so let me ask you, is your joy brimming over? Is there exceeding rejoicing and thriving in gladness that's just bubbling over in your life? And when I say it like that, I'm kind of setting you up, right? Because we're living in a fallen world. We've all got all sorts of troubles and trials and tribulations. And so there's something in us that's like, well, I don't know. I don't think my joy is necessarily just brimming over. Well, here's what I'm here to tell you. And this is a lesson that I think we all need to learn, including myself. We can have full joy. We can have full joy. Why is it so many Christians are without true, full joy? So we're going to look at this, and I'm actually going to be on this topic for the next few weeks, okay? So we're just going to really stay right here with these verses, and I'm going to look at today how we receive joy, okay? How do we gain that joy? Where does it come from? And then over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at, and it'll really span to next year. That sounds scary, doesn't it? But really, I just have one message next week, and then we're off to Christmas and New Year's, and then we'll come back to this in January. But the next few sermons will be like, what robs us of our joy? Like, what are some things to watch out for that are always taking our joy? Because I want us to understand this well, and I think even today's lesson is a big help to me. Because, you know, you've probably heard someone say, well, you're saved, so be joyful. Like, where's your joy, Christian? And you may even heard the I may have said that, you know, when I was preaching through Philippians and talking about how Paul says there that we're to have joy. And I'm like, he's in a jail cell. So listen, if you're saved, have joy. Oh, here's what I've learned. That's kind of like when you're having an argument with your wife. No, hold on. We don't have arguments. We have discussions. So when we're having a discussion with our wife and we say, calm down. Now listen, that helps a lot, doesn't it? When your husband says, now calm down. And if you add woman, that really helps. Calm down, woman. Argument over, right? Obviously, okay, I've struck a nerve. Good. That's my job. I love striking nerves. So good. No, when you say... That's not going to fix the argument, is it? And I feel like that's a lot of ways about, you got a lot of heavy-hearted Christians because we live in there's no denying the struggle and the trials that come along with this life. Christ told us we were appointed to them. Christ told us we would have in this world tribulation. Christ told us that, you know, whosoever will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we know these things are coming. We know they're a part of life, but it seems really shallow to look at a heavy-hearted Christian and say, well, I mean, have joy. Doesn't it seem about the same? Because you and I both know it's not a switch that you can just flip. Now, sure, my wife says something like, you got to put on your grace face. Well, that's just called faking it, right? I mean, that's just when it's like, you're having a discussion in the car before church and you walk into the church building. Well, you got to put on your grace face because you don't want everyone to know how you really are, right? And so, man, I'm meddling, aren't I? I'm sorry. I'm trying to let you know that the Bible has something for us that's actually helpful on this area of joy. And it doesn't have to be that, well, just suck it up and have joy. Well, that's not really joy, is it? Joy is something that comes from within. And so we're going to get into this here a little bit this evening. But I want you first, before we get into it, and I'll apologize. I wrote these notes and I had them in a certain order. And then my mind really this afternoon decided to make some changes. So I'm going to try to just follow the Spirit here. And I hope it's all clear. But before we get to... really the answer and where we gain our joy and how we do flip that switch back to joy, because there is a way and God's given it to us. I just want us to understand the difference between joy and happiness. Okay, and we'll see this because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something that a Christian can have, but I don't believe, and someone may argue, but I don't believe the world can have true biblical joy, because I think joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Lord. In fact, I'll show you some verses that I believe prove that here in just a moment. But the world certainly does experience happiness, okay? You know, Reese's peanut butter cups make me happy. They just do. But here's the issue. I got to have another one. Because once I've eaten it, well, that happiness is pretty, I mean, it just doesn't last that long. And so next thing you know, in this time of year, those little Christmas trees are a problem. And some of you are thinking of the little white cakes. Those are a real problem. But there's also the Reese's, you know, the Reese's trees, and those are a problem. Those make me happy, okay? They don't bring me joy. Joy's different. Happiness has to do with our happenings, right? We get a raise at work. Oh, man, we're happy. But then inflation. And so what does it matter, right? It doesn't matter. You go, oh, what am I going to do with all this money? I'm going to buy the same stuff that I did yesterday for more. But our circumstances certainly push us around, and sometimes we're happy, sometimes things make us unhappy. That's different. I want you to know that that's different than joy. There's things in our life that make us unhappy. It was just before we moved out of Plainview was the last time I got a jury duty summons. Well, yeah, you know, I know we all have to do our part, and it's part of our duty as citizens to go to the jury duty thing. But man, when you get and open one of those letters, doesn't that really make you happy? They're going to take all day of my time, and I'm going to get $2 for it because this guy didn't do something correct. You know, whatever. Maybe he didn't. Innocent until proven guilty, right? But it doesn't make us happy. But I'll tell you this. You can go serve on a jury and have joy. It's a different thing, okay? So we have, now let me just say this too. God gives us plenty of reasons to be happy. He really does. He blesses our life with plenty of things that truly should bring us happiness. One of my best friends always is saying, well, Christians ought to be the happiest people on the planet. I just want you to understand that joy is different from the circumstantial things that go on in our life that sort of cause our excitement level to go up and down. A few weeks ago, we studied the book of Philippians, and we finished up that study, and that was all about joy and rejoicing all the while Paul was in prison. One commentator said the circumstances of the apostle, talking about Paul, are in striking contrast with his experience. He is Nero's prisoner, yet there is a shout of joy. Christian experience, he would teach us, is not something which is going on around him, but something that is going on within him. Okay, so when we think of joy, I want you to think of something that is not going on around you. It's something that's going on within you, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple things, and I really do believe these are helpful, and I hope that it's not taken like the preacher said, well, Christian, have joy. Well, you see the trial I'm going through. Doesn't matter. Have joy. That's not what I'm saying, okay? I just want to clear that up right now. I think there's times where here's the thing, there's truth in those statements. There is truth in someone saying to me, well, are you saved? Well, yeah. Then have joy. There's some truth there. But you and I both know we don't get there that quickly, and we need some more help than that. And so that's what I think. And so there's a couple things here that I think would be helpful for us in learning what it means to be joyful and having the joy of the Lord. So there's really two points to this, and I gathered these points from, so John tells us in verse 4, the purpose of the book is that we would have joy. So you kind of have to take my word for it now, and then over the next several weeks as we study through 1 John, what you're going to see is, oh yeah, he's reinforcing that thing about fellowship all the time. Fellowship, 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 fellowship with God, fellowship with God, fellowship with God. He's going to keep reinforcing that. Why? That your joy may be full. He's going to keep reinforcing that thing about eternity and eternal security and the perspective that we're going to have. He's going to keep reinforcing that. And why is he going to keep reinforcing that? Oh yeah, because that's what's going to help me to have the joy of the Lord. So it's really two points. I already gave them away. The first one is this: joy comes from fellowship with Christ. And I could word this a few different ways. We could say this, when we're in fellowship with Christ, we acknowledge Christ's authority over our trials. And the reason I'm going to talk about trials and tribulations and persecution a little bit tonight is because we don't typically have joy problems when we're not going through trials. I mean, some people would maybe say, yeah, I don't even have joy in the good times. And there's the same truths apply. But for most people, really when your joy is challenged, it's during those trials. And let me say this. If we hit a trial and our joy goes like this, can I tell you something? We probably didn't have joy. We probably had happiness. Okay? So if you really have joy from the Lord and you hit a trial, you should just do this. Even though sometimes happiness is dipping down here. And I hope that makes sense when we look at a couple of these things. But the first thing is that joy comes from a relationship with Christ. And that relationship with Christ helps us to understand that Christ has authority over our trials. So let's work on this just a little bit. This isn't the first time. So right here, John says in verse 4, look at verse 4, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." Now, I know that the Bible is inspired. I know that the Holy Spirit gave John those words and John wrote that down. But I want you to know too that John heard that same phrase with his ears while he was on the earth. Look back in John chapter 15. So John writes, of course, in the gospel here, John 15, he writes his account of of the Lord's ministry, life and ministry. And of course, the book of John is fully inspired by God. And so we understand he's writing what God's giving him. But I do believe he worked through these men and they wrote down their experiences through the Holy Ghost. John 15 and verse 11, notice what it says here. And this is now Jesus speaking. In verse 11, here's what Jesus tells John. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So we're gonna work on something here. I'm gonna try to make a couple of biblical connections that I hope will help you in just a second. But get this, John, verse one, he's telling us, I have experienced something with Christ that few people did. I lived with him. I served alongside him. John was in the inner three, right, of those 12 disciples. And then he's writing us a book, and he's writing us the book that our joy might be full. But notice, Jesus once told John, I am giving you these things. I'm speaking to you these things that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. All right? So John's heard this before, and he's heard it from the Lord. The Lord said, and we're going to look at what he said here in just a moment, but the Lord said, I am telling you this so that my joy, notice what Jesus says, my joy might remain in you. That's what Jesus said to John. I'm telling you these things so that my joy, Jesus' joy, might remain in you, John. Now, John's writing an epistle to us, and he's saying, I'm telling you these things that your joy might be full. So just what Jesus told me, I want you to have that same thing. But notice what Jesus said is, it's the Lord's joy. That's why I say it's really going to be hard for a non-believer to experience the joy of the Lord. It is his joy. Jesus said, I want my joy to remain in you. Here's the problem. If the Lord is saying, I'm teaching you these things so that my joy will remain in you, you understand then that means there's a danger that the Lord's joy would not remain in us. I mean, if it couldn't ever leave us, he wouldn't have said, I'm preaching these things to you so that you this joy stays with you. So the joy is the Lord's joy. It comes from him. And it is not just, again, as I read just a minute ago, it's not just about the things happening around us, but he says that my joy might remain in you. It is in you. It's something that comes from the inside. So if we have the joy of the Lord, it's remaining in us. then when we come across trials and tribulations of life, it's there. The joy's there. It's already there. And so if we find ourselves, which we do at times, we find ourselves with no joy, I'm just telling you, there was a problem before you hit the trial. A lot of times we look and we say, the trial, man, this thing's really got me down. This trial. This thing I'm going through is really, man, it's, I was fine before, now I'm not. I'm just telling you, the trial reveals what's already going on in the heart. And I believe sometimes we're floating through life on happiness, but we really don't have the joy of the Lord. And so when we hit a trial, our happiness is fleeting, the joy is not there, and we're down. So the key is, we need to figure out what Jesus said to John that would be so powerful that would keep his joy in us. Are we all together? Okay. We're going to do that, but some people are looking down. Don't read ahead. I got this, okay? Just hold on. We're going to get back to John 15, but for just a second, go to Galatians 5. So hold your place here. We're going to be in John 15. We'll be back to 1 John, but I want you to look at Galatians 5, and I talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, and I don't have that many fingers, and I use my hands when I talk. My family always makes fun of me, so I'm just going to put a marker in my Bible. That way I can do all this that I want to do. Galatians 5, look at verse 22. Actually, go back to verse 18, okay? Verse 18, Galatians 5, 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, he's talking about, I just read that verse to talk to you, or to make clear what he's talking about is, he's talking about living in the Spirit. Then verse 19, he says, the works of the flesh are, and he goes through, and basically, he says works of the flesh. So I don't want to change the Bible, but what do you get out of a fleshly existence? Well, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy. Sounds fun, right? No, wrong, okay? So he's given us, like, that's what happens when we live of the flesh. Notice verse 22. But that conjunction. Okay, here's a conjunction. But you can do better than that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's that next one? Joy. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, so he says, but if we're living of the Spirit, there is a certain fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit, and I said this in Sunday school, but I want you to think about it for just a second. Fruit, we're going to connect this passage, Galatians 5:22, and John 15, and then we're going to look at one more place. We're going to connect three dots here, and I hope it makes sense. Because I want you to understand how you can have the joy of the Lord remaining in you so that Monday, when you don't get to hang around me, you're still happy, right? So that tomorrow, when you come across a trial, your joy is there, and you can withstand the trial and still have joy, okay? We got to connect some dots to do that. Now the fruit of the Spirit. So we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, and what I said there was, there's a process that brings us forth, but you understand fruit is the last thing you get from a tree or from a plant, okay? And so when we say the word fruit, what we're saying is, well, here we go. I'm going to talk about farming, gardening, growing stuff, and it's I don't know how to do it, okay? So I just admit that. But before I can enjoy fruit, you understand there's a lot that goes into the plant before I eat the fruit. I was horrified watching and this is why I just try not to get on and watch these kind of interviews, but I was watching a guy, and he was interviewing people on the street and asking them if we needed agriculture in our society. And did you know there's like a whole movement against farming and agriculture? And this one lady said, why do we need farms? We have grocery stores. I'm not kidding. That's what she said. And I go, well, no wonder our country is where it is. These people vote, right? Boy, I'm really getting in a mess here. But I'm thinking, okay, lady. And you know what I'm thinking, right? Okay. I heard a preacher preach. I was just listening to some messages this week, as I usually do, and one preacher said, you know, I think teenagers think that food just grows in the cabinet. You know, that they just open the door and there's food growing there. We all understand, before we get to go to the grocery store and pick from the produce, we understand there's a whole process that has brought that fruit to that place. Okay. Fruit. It's a result. Okay. It's someone has tilled the soil. Someone has put the right balance of stuff in the soil. Someone has planted carefully a seed at the right depth, at the right time of year, at the right temperature. They've tamped it just right. And then they've given it the right amount of moisture every time that it needs it. Like I said, I don't know. Just whenever it needs it, they give. I always over or underwater. I've never found the sweet spot. But yeah, they plant, they water. When weeds come up, man, they're pulling the weeds or they're doing something about that, they're controlling that. I even learned that with some plants, you know, there's some things you got to trim away from the plant so that the fruit can grow. They're making sure there's pollinators coming through, right? We planted a whole garden one year and there were no pollinators, and so we got a lot of leaves in our garden, no fruit. Now, some of you are like, why are we here talking about this? All I'm telling you is, the fruit of the Spirit, it's a result of the Spirit's work in our life. All right. So if the Spirit is not at work in our life, or we're not allowing Him to work in our life, we're not cooperating with the Spirit in our life, can I tell you, we won't have the fruit. Now, we can come to church, grace face it, right? And we can, oh yeah, I have the joy of the Lord. I have love. I have temperance. But that real fruit is a result of the work of the Spirit. Okay, back to John 15. Okay, so we've got this, that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a result of the work of the Spirit. We've got Jesus saying, I've spoken to you some things that if you'll pay attention to these things, my joy will be in you. Look at the words in verse 11, might remain in you. That's really good. My joy might remain. Jesus wants His joy to remain in you. He doesn't want you just to experience it and then tomorrow not have it. He wants it to remain. He wants it to be full. Well, what did He say? Did you know this? Before He said that, you know what the preaching was about? Let's look at verse 1. I am the true vine. Okay, we're about to talk about fruit, aren't we? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Look what He says. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let me just, there's too many of us not abiding in the vine, but trying to get the fruit that the vine provides. Jesus said here, if you're not abiding in me, you won't have this fruit. I mean, it's as simple as that. Does that make sense? It's very clear. If you're a branch, and if the branch is removed from the vine, you're not going to experience the fruit that I provide, because it's my fruit. It's my joy. So he's telling John this, and the other disciples as well, I believe. He's teaching them about the vine and the branches, because there are some things in this life that are fruits of the Spirit, fruit that only comes from God, and if we are not in the vine, we won't experience the fruit. When we come across a trial, many times that trial reveals we didn't have the fruit of joy. Why didn't we have the fruit of joy? Well, apparently, the Spirit was not able to bring forth that result in our life. Why is that? Well, maybe at some point, we are trying to bear the fruit ourselves rather than abiding in the vine. And so the Lord says, abide in me. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But notice what he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Have you ever felt, Christian, withered? I mean, can we just be honest? Has there been times where you thought, man, I am withering away? You're not plugged in to the vine. There's a problem. If that's the case, there is a problem. And rather than us saying, I just got to snap out of it and be joyful, you know what we got to figure out? How do I get back in the vine? There's no snap out of it and be joyful. All this is a result of me, the branch, trying to bear fruit that is not mine to bear. I have to plug into the vine to get this fruit. So John tells us in 1 John, I'm telling you these things so that your joy may be full. And what he's going to work on in chapters 1 through 5 is our fellowship and our relationship with Christ. Because as we develop our fellowship and our relationship with Christ, we're abiding in Christ. We're plugging into the vine. And there's a result that happens from that, and it's called fruit. And one of those results is joy. Now, turn to Luke chapter 13. I want you to see this. So all these passages are connected and I think can help us. Luke 13. So when we're not joyful, okay, and I'm going to close with Luke 13. I haven't even gone through any of my notes. Great, I have a message for next time. when we're not joyful, we think, why am I not joyful? Well, I know I'm saved, okay. Well, this trial's got me down. I just need to snap out of it and be joyful. I don't know about you. I can't do that. Now, I can put on a grace face, right? I can act joyful. I think we all can. We're probably pretty good at it, too good at it. But I have learned this truth. I've learned it. I'm one of those that's so smart, I have to learn things multiple times, like the same thing. I've learned it and learned it and learned it. And the Lord's continuously helped me with this. And I'm just telling you, it is a truth. It is a truth, truth, truth. Our joy is not circumstantial. It has to do with our relationship. So when we're without joy, we shouldn't say, what's going on with these circumstances? We should say, how is my walk with Christ? That should be our question. How is my walk with the Lord? Look at Luke 13. Jesus speaks a parable, verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now just pause for 1 second. There's so much. I would like to preach this for 4 verses right here. But notice he doesn't fire the keeper, the dresser of the vineyard. Because that'd be me. I'd be like, you obviously don't know what you're doing with this tree. And by the way, I'm not trying to make spiritual, parallels that aren't here, but I'm just going to tell you, if we're not joyful, it's not his fault. It's not the keeper. It's not his fault. It's a tree. There's a tree problem. All right, let's keep reading. I've come down these 3 years. He's a farmer like me. He planted this tree. It's not making any fruit. Doesn't know why. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So this guy in the vineyard, he says, Lord, give me 1 year. I'm going to dig about it, and then I'm going to dung it. And I've studied a little bit about what he's talking about. And what he's saying is he's going to dig out the soil around it because, there's certain soil that's not good for fruit-bearing trees. There's certain things, like if you plant a soil or plant a plant in a soil that's overly acidic or overly sandy or, like all these different things, you're not going to get fruit from that tree because it can't gather up the nutrients, or it's gathering up things that it shouldn't gather up. And so he's saying, I first of all, I need to change the soil. Hold your place right there. Go to Hosea with me. Hosea. So Hosea is a little book. I'm looking. Go to Hosea, chapter 10. Let's start in chapter 10. Okay. Chapter 10. And look at. No, it's not chapter 10. Sorry. Chapter 13. Look at chapter 13. Here it is. Yep. Okay. Now, Hosea is a book that is dealing with the northern kingdom of Israel. Hosea is prophesying to Ephraim. That's the northern kingdom. And basically, his message is, you're not obeying God, destruction's coming. So that's his message, but it's the way he gets there and how he preaches it, it's very interesting. But notice, how did they get there? How did they get to a place where they weren't obeying God? Well, look at, this verse just really came out to me the other day. Hosea 13 and verse 6. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Now notice what that says. According to their pasture, they were filled. Did you know this? It matters what pasture you're feeding from. There's a lot of pastures that you can be in that you'll be filled, but you'll forget God. There's a lot of them. And so the idea is, it's like, if I'm in the wrong pasture, if I've got the wrong There's so many things. If I got the wrong entertainment selected for my life, that's the wrong pasture. And can't we consume and fill up on all those things? I mean, I feel like a lot of our world is just numbing themselves to death with bad pasture entertainment. And it's at the tip of our fingers. We can just get on there. You know, we can select some entertainment. We know it's not godly, but yeah, it's not hurting us. I mean, it's not really affecting me. It's affecting you. You're consuming it. It's changing you. It's filling you. And you're full. You're filled with it, but you've forgotten God. Let me tell you this. That's that idea of taking that tree and digging about it. I got to remove some things from the roots. I got to remove some things from this tree so that this tree has an opportunity to produce fruit. So what I'm telling you, if we don't have any joy, we say, what's wrong? Well, we're not abiding in Christ. We're not in the vine. We got some digging to do. It could be that I don't have joy because I'm in the wrong pasture. I'm in the wrong soil. I'm taking up the wrong thing. I'll say this. I was just recently, I'd say the last few months, you know, you get really busy and there's always things to do. And so then you sort of fill your dead time with, I don't know, like I'll watch videos about sports or hunting or this or that. And by the way, nothing wrong with some of those things. But I was convicted by the Lord. He said, well, why don't you fill that time with some more of me? I mean, because really at the end of the day, sports is fun. I mean, Cowboys, Eagles, 6:25 or whatever tonight, I'll be watching it. But listen, win or lose, it's not going to affect my life. It's not going to help me be closer to Christ. It's not going to help me to better abide in the vine. And so working on our pasture, what's around us, what we're consuming, digging about that tree. Then he says, I'm going to dig it and dung it. Well, what's he talking about there? Fertilizer. Okay, so then I have to add things to my life. Good things, biblical things, like, time with the Lord. Go back to 1 John. We're almost done. 1 John, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. These things we write unto you that your joy may be full. The next thing he talks about in verse number 6 is that we are walking with him in the light, in verse 7, as he is in the light. He's saying the way you have full joy is through a healthy, thriving relationship, fellowship with Christ. And if there are things in our life that take us out of fellowship, even good things, even non-sinful things that remove us from fellowship, well, less of the Lord's work is going to be done. And let me just tell you, Christian, if you're not reading your Bible consistently, not because the pastor said so and I better fill out this thing, and not because of that, but because I need to hear from God today, I'm going to read my Bible. If you're not doing that, His joy will not remain in you. You have to do that. And it's not like, well, this is going to be the verse that's going to change my whole day. No, it's just, I'm working on my relationship with God daily, and one of the fruits of that is going to be joy. If I'm not praying, I mean, if I'm not praying to God, and I don't know, you tell me however long you pray, I just tell you need to pray more. I mean, I don't know everything there is to know, but I know this, I don't pray enough. Pray without ceasing? I hadn't got there yet. Yeah. But I'll tell you this, and this is how I know this is true, and I feel like I've gone long. It's not even 3 yet, though, so we're okay. I've had times where trials came into my life, and I found myself all of a sudden sitting there with no joy. And I thought, what is going on? And I, you know what happens in those trials? Those trials drive us to our knees, don't they? All of a sudden, my prayer life is like, you know, trials, prayer life, you know. All of a sudden, my Bible reading, oh, I'm going to start reading it. And what happens is God's able to do stuff in us, bring forth fruit in us. And one of the things that he brings forth is joy. Jesus said, abide in me, live in me, stay in me, abide, hang out in me. I'm telling you to do that, that your joy will, that his joy will remain in you. I have found, when I have found myself with no joy, when I get down to it, somehow or another, I've gotten away from it. Here's one that I do. I'll say, well, I do read my Bible. I'm a pastor. I spend hours in the Bible every day. And he says, why are you reading it? Well, I mean, I have a calendar. I got to stick to the calendar. And I do. It just doesn't work if I don't have a calendar. So yeah, I do. But if I don't approach the Bible so that I'm saying something like this, God, I need some wisdom that you've got. And so I need to spend appropriate time here to get what you want me to get. And if I read a chapter or two and I'm not there yet, then you know what? I'm reading another chapter or two. And I'm going to get what God wants me to get. And when I approach the scriptures that way, and then I take what I've read and I take what's going on and I take that to the altar and I pray before God and I spend time, and I mean time in prayer with God and time in the scriptures with God, time abiding in the vine, I'm telling you, there is nothing that can take your joy. It doesn't matter what's going on. His joy can remain in you. He was preparing, in John 15, he's preparing the disciples to face, to this point, their life has been easy street compared to what they were about to face. And he said, I'm teaching you this, you better abide in me. If you want my joy to remain in you, abide in me. John is now writing to us. He's 90 years old. It's much later. And he's like, let me remind you, church, I'm writing you these things about your fellowship, your relationship with Christ, that your joy might be full. So if we've come to a place where we're just struggling in the area of joy, can I tell you, we're struggling in our relationship with Christ. And we need to dig. We need to dung. We need to get closer to him. The Lord has proven this to me time and time again, to the point where I say, why do I ever leave your presence? Why? Every time I leave, joy goes away. Temperance, patience, long-suffering, it's not there. Why would I ever leave? Well, because I'm a sinful human, just like you are. These things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. Stop saying, oh man, it's this problem, or it's just, I need to snap out of it. Nope. Dig down, get closer to the Lord. Abide in him. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I know this particular message and the ones following have been a real help to me, just the truths here. I pray, Lord, with all my heart, it'd be a help to somebody else. And Lord, I pray we wouldn't just hear this message, but that we would go home and do it. That we would appropriate time to spend with you, that we get close to you, that we get things out of our life and that we don't need, that we put things in our life that we do need, and that we'd make changes. And I just believe it, that we'd have joy. Help us, Father, I pray. Lord, just bless now as we dismiss from this place, be with the choir, as we practice. I pray you bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.